So before we get to reading scripture, I always like to pray before we read, and simply it helps calm my nerves, and it invites the presence of the Holy Spirit here. So would you join me? Heavenly Father, we call on the power of your Spirit to come now in this sacred space, the sacred space of our hearts, our minds, and to open our ears. May we receive your message and the blessing of your word today. And may the meditation of our hearts and the words of my lips be pleasing to you, Lord. Amen. Our first reading comes from Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3, and it reads, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. And then from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell, and great was its fall. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Thanks be to God. So God is our rock. That's a powerful image, is it not? I was at the confirmation retreat last night after the funeral. I had to go and see what our confirmation students were up to. They've been on a two-year journey learning about church history, learning about the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and all of these things. And I wanted to go and check on the progress, because this is kind of like the pinnacle of the confirmation process. This is the weekend where they get together and they get to bond and form community and really come to understand what it means to be in love with God. And all of this is leading up to 2 weeks from today, where they'll come forward and be confirmed. And we'll ask this question, do you believe Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? And our hope is that they can say with a sincere heart, yes, right? That they can grasp onto the idea of God being their rock. And so as the kids were involved in an activity, I kind of pulled myself away and went over and sat with a couple of the chaperones that were there, three chaperones, and I sat down with them, and I asked them, I said, I got to confess to you that I'm looking for sermon material. Because I got the notice that I'm delivering today a little late, right? And I said, so here goes. God is our rock. What's that mean to you? And so around the table, they were talking about, oh, you know, just how it feels to have that security and safety and comfort, knowing that God is always present in their lives through the trials and the tribulations and the storms. And as they get older and more mature and their faith continues to grow, it just becomes an everyday outpouring of love from God that they receive, and it becomes almost tangible, and they truly believe that they can rest on those words that God is our rock. And I said, wow, that's powerful. I said, like, how long have you been a Christian? Because, you know, they're talking about this in great detail, and it was very intriguing to me. And it turns out that all three of them were raised in the church. They were raised in the church. So naturally, being raised in the church, their parents took their oath seriously of this text, of building a house on a solid foundation, on God as their rock. And as a result, they were able to grow up in that house and be nurtured and loved and cared for, and they come to understand who God is and receive those blessings. Are you with me? Right? And so it's like, as they're describing their faith journey from childhood to adulthood, I want to confess something. I got a little jealous because I didn't have that foundation at home. I had a biological father that was abusive and neglectful, and he eventually abandoned me. And so I think for any of us that doesn't have that house of faith, that rock solid foundation growing up, our houses become built on sand. And I don't know if you know anything about sand, but sand's light, and it, you know, if a stiff wind comes by, it can pick up the particles and scatter them even further. The waves of the ocean pound the sand, right, and continually move it. We were in Florida just this past spring break, and on one of the beaches for 7 miles, they're doing a restoration project along the shore, because the waves continually beat the sand and pull the sand back out into the ocean. So the beach was eroding, and they would have this huge ship, like a half a mile offshore, that would dredge up sand, and they would pipe it back onto the beach, and these bulldozers were pushing it back into place. And it's like a $25 million project to restore the beach. And I asked the guy, I says, so how long does this last? He says, oh, we'll be back in about 7 years. 7 years. When we have, I think about the children that we serve through Kids Hope and Royal Family Kids Camp, and how they don't grow up with this secure foundation, a house built on rock, and how their house or homes are makeshift at best. And what happens when you build a house or a structure on sand, you're constantly patching and repairing where the erosion occurs, right? And I think how that applies to our life is like when we have been wounded and we didn't have that stability growing up, and there's pain and suffering in our lives, we tend to numb that pain or constantly apply something to fill the void or to fill the holes in our lives. And sand, I mean, you can pour water into sand all day long and it'll never puddle. It'll just drain through, right? I mean, it's pointless. And I can remember as we're having this conversation, reflecting about what it was like before Christ and having that void in my life, trying to fill it with all the things that I had tried to fill it with, and it not being filled. And I remember a conversation I had with my wife. We were coming home from dinner. It was a beautiful summer evening, and there was stars in the sky. And she looked at me and she goes, gosh, what do you think about a God who would create all of this for us? Now see, she comes from a family with a firm foundation on a rock. She grew up in the faith. And I looked at her and I says, yeah, I don't buy it. I couldn't grasp the concept of one person or one being creating the heavens and earth or the galaxy, because for me it was too much. It was too big, the expanse. And I remember looking back at her and seeing her reaction. It was a reaction of shock and horror. Imagine somebody with a secure foundation meeting somebody on a sandy foundation. There comes questions and challenges. And when we started to explore a church, she really got involved in a Methodist church down in Sunbury and met a family who invited her to their home for a Bible study. And, you know, I was skeptical about everything, so I had to go with her because I didn't want her to go alone, right? I thought there was something going on. And what blew me away was every week this family would make fresh coffee and brownies from scratch. And they'd still be warm and gooey, right? And you talk about radical hospitality. And what I didn't know is my wife had shared with them that she was praying for me, and so they started to pray for me. But I would go, and I would sit there, and I would read the text with them, and then I would ask them really dumb questions, and I got to admit, I would be obnoxious and challenge their beliefs. Like, how can you believe in a firm foundation? You don't know what I went through. How do you believe that? How can you buy into this, right? And their response was always out of love. Their response was acceptance. Their response was just accepting me where I was at on my journey. They never got into a real debate with me, even though I tried. They just said, classic line, "Oh, that's interesting. I haven't heard it put that way." Can't argue with that, right? But through their foundation of love, it led to a sacred moment in my life. It led to a moment in communion where my eyes were opened at the breaking of the bread. And I said yes. I said yes to that invitation. And everything after that moment became real, became planted on a firm foundation. And I am so grateful to be able to offer that to Anthony now, our son. Grateful and scared at the same time, and I'll share why. Because the other day he said, "Daddy, I want to grow up like you and be a pastor." Oh boy. Oh boy. But I believe, like 2 weeks ago, I was sharing with you that as I took a hermeneutics class from my missions professor, he views all of Scripture as a missional, from a missional approach. And from beginning to end, everywhere he looks, he sees God in mission to the world and his people in response being in mission to the world. And I can't help but start to see that, even in today's text, when the wise man hears, there's an action. He has to act. He has to build. And I think through the stories that I've shared today, what you've seen is a couple that had responded to the invitation of God, who said yes, who planted their house on the solid rock, had a solid foundation, and they took action by inviting me to come into their home. They were inviting me to claim my stake on God's rock. And I think that's what the text is calling all of us to do. If you haven't said yes to the invitation is extended to come and claim your stake on the solid rock of God. And if you have said yes, I believe that there's an action required from you to show radical hospitality, to be on the lookout, to invite others. This past Thursday, I was at an all-day training event, and the bishop was there, and he was talking about the prodigal son, which is a great story. And every time I hear that story, I always get something different out of it. And Thursday was no different. And as he was talking about it, he was talking about how the Father saw the Son at a great distance. And he didn't say it, but it dawned on me that the Father was being active, right? Because if you see somebody from a far distance, that means you're what? You're looking, right? There again, there's the missional aspect of God. We're called to partake in the blessing that God offers, and then also to respond and to extend beyond ourselves, to be on the lookout, if you will, to invite people to come and stake their claim on the solid rock that God is. For God is our shelter, our refuge, our fortress, our rock. Amen? And so, Jesus comes to solidify that. Out of love, he takes the bread, he blesses it, and gives thanks to God. That in and of itself blows me away, how he says, "Thank you, God." And then breaks the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you." Think about that for a moment. He's offering to be a rock for us. It's ironic, I think, that he would die on a cross on a rock called Golgotha. And he takes the cup and he gives thanks and he blesses it. And he says, "Take, drink, all of you, for this is my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Come, take, eat, drink. Do this in remembrance of me." Pray with me. Thank you, God, for the blessing of this day. We pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon these common elements of fruit of the vine and bread, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we can become one in mission with you to the world through Christ's holy name. As we pray together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I'd like to invite up those who are going to serve communion with me today. And as they are coming up, I want you to know a couple housekeeping rules. We have a gluten-free station here that Misty's going to serve at. And Jenna, who is a senior, getting ready to start this fall at Ohio University in biology because she wants to be a veterinarian. And she has been begged, they begged her to be on the swim team, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So, and her mom and dad are going to serve with her, Greg and Amy. Thank you both for serving. Thank you all for serving. Number one, you don't have to be a member of this church to come and receive the grace and the gift that God offers through communion. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church. We practice an open table, means all are welcome. So come as you are led. Second, if you feel nudged to give a second offering, we have a model of the blue bus on each side that will help us feed families on Wednesday and a couple times on weekends during the month now, because we've got three different runs going now. So this is just a wonderful ministry. And yep, that's it. That's it. So come as you are led to receive the body and blood of Christ, the gift that can change your life, the gift that assures you of being or having a home on a solid foundation, because God is our rock. Come.